Let's open our Bibles in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And as you will have seen from your little card, it is verse 33 is the motto text I believe the Lord would have for us for this year. Proverbs 3 and verse 33. Word of God says, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. And it is this second half, this phrase that we want to consider, to hold on to even throughout this year. He blesseth the habitation of the just. He blesseth the habitation of the just. Let's just ask the Lord to speak to us, to minister to us even this morning through his word, and to encourage us for the year that lies ahead. Heavenly Father, we bow before thee, and we thank thee that we are coming to an all-knowing God. We thank thee, O God, that even as we step out into this year, thou art the one who already knows the end from the beginning. Thou art the one who sees, who knows, who understands all things. And Father, we place ourselves in thy hands. Even now as we come around thy word, we pray that thou wilt minister to us through it. That this text, this motto even for this year, that it will be a blessing to our hearts, not just today, but indeed in all of the days and the weeks to come. Lord, empty us of self and of sin, and fill us with thy spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I began to prepare for this service and for the bringing of the motto text for 2024, I thought it would be a good idea to maybe explain to maybe the children, the young people, even some of the older possibly, as to the point of having a motto text. I'm not saying that every single minister has to, or every single minister does present one and preach one to his congregation. But I do believe it is good. Personally, I believe it is good to give one at the start of the year to a congregation if the Lord lays one upon your heart. Motto texts are there to encourage a congregation. They can be there to prepare a congregation. It is something that the Lord gives, even that you would meditate upon, that you would pray over, even in the days to come. As you remember this work, as you remember this church before the Lord, that you can take this verse and you can bring it as a remembrance or even unto the Lord. You bring back the Lord's word to him. Lord, thou hast promised to bless the habitation of the just. And so you're praying over the text and you're praying for the blessing of God even to be evident in the congregation. Motto texts can also be used to comfort a congregation. As they look out in the world, as they see all of the darkness, all of the sadness, the depravity of man, and people can get discouraged as to where things are going and how things will end up, motto texts can be used of the Lord to comfort and to sustain a people. That though the day may be dark, yet the Lord is still in control. The Lord is still undertaking for his people. Motto texts can also be given to challenge a congregation. Maybe to get them up out of their seats, as it were, sitting at ease in the house of Zion, and to stir hearts, get them motivated for the year that lies ahead. There's all different reasons why motto texts are there to be used, and motto texts are there to be remembered. We do acknowledge, of course, and accept that God is an omniscient God. In other words, that means that God is all-knowing. There is nothing in the world, past, present, or future, that God does not know about. He knows what every single month, every single week, every single day of 2024 will bring. Not just for the congregation, but indeed for you personally. God knows exactly what this year will bring to your home. God knows exactly what this year will bring to my home. And God gives us these texts, these verses to hold on to. That regardless what comes, the Lord promises even to bless the habitation of the just. Yes, of course, we have plans. The church has plans. We've already seen that in a little card. All of the things that have been agreed by the session as we came together and discussed this year. And the plans that have been made for the various outreaches, the various works. And of course, you personally will have plans for your own home. Some it may be a case that this will be the year when you get a job. Or maybe this will be the year when you get married. Or this will be the year when you finish education. Or this will be the year when you commence education, or a new step in your education. All of these plans you have personally. But only God knows what this year will bring. The motto text is before us. The Lord laid upon my heart this final phrase, He blesseth the habitation of the just. I believe this is a motto text, not just to encourage and to comfort, but I believe it is also a motto text to challenge us. Let me say from the outset, yes, you can apply this verse to your personal home. If you're a child of God, a father, a mother, you can apply this verse to your home. He does bless the habitation. He does bless the home of the just. But I'm going to take it this morning and use it as the Lord speaking of the church home. In other words, the house of God here. That in 2024 the Lord will bless this habitation. That the Lord will bless this home of the just. Two things I want to leave with you in our time together. Firstly, verse 33, I see a confidence for the year that lies ahead. A confidence for a year that lies ahead. It says He blesseth the habitation of the just. Now of course, if you take the full verse, it has a two-pronged message, because there is the curse of God, and the curse of the Lord is upon the house of the wicked. Those that are against God, those that are enemies of God, those that attack the word of God, attack the person of God, those that hate the Lord for all that He is and all that He stands for, God will curse and God will punish those people. As another year begins, we are reminded that God is still against evil and sin. Just because the calendar has changed does not mean that our God has changed. Our God still hates sin. And our God is still against sin. And our God in heaven will never accept sin. It doesn't matter how it's dressed up. It doesn't matter how it's changed or how it's presented to us. It doesn't matter the language that is used in relation to it. Whether individuals try and use softer language, sin is sin. God still hates it. And just because a new year has started does not mean that God's view has changed in any way. God's curse is still against sin. But just as there is a curse against the wicked, so too there is a blessing towards the just. It's important to remember that even at the start of a new year, that this is God's house. That this is the Lord's house. That this is the place from which the Lord's work is undertaken in this community. It is the place where the Lord's people meet together. They fellowship together and they worship the Lord together. This is the place that we gather to every Sunday morning, Sunday evening. This is the place from which the various works are undertaken amongst children, amongst young people, the place of prayer on the Wednesday night. All of these works take place from this church. The doors are open to the community from this church that the community might come in. And they'll be open throughout this year, that this is a habitation. This is a house of God. That is used even for the proclamation of the Word of God. The confidence that we have is that it will be blessed by God. Now, there are many different ways that individuals mark blessing. There are some people and they only look at blessing in terms of numbers. Some people will only see, oh, God is blessing if you have X number of people gathering in every single Sunday. Any less than a certain number and they say, oh, you're not being blessed. My friend, there are many different ways to mark the blessing of God in a congregation. It's not simply by numbers. How does God bless in His house? Well, firstly, His presence in the church. God's presence is a great blessing in the habitation of the just. That is something that we can look forward to. Every single time that we gather together in this house, that is something that we can look forward to. And that is something that we should always be looking for. That whenever we come to this house, that we come with that understanding that God will be here and God is here. And therefore we come with that desire and that knowledge. If God is here, I want to know that He is here. And I want to meet with Him. Matthew 18 verse 20, the Lord promises, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And you go through the Old Testament scriptures and you see the presence of the Lord, the truth of that statement, and the presence of the Lord in all of the houses of God. God has always had a desire to dwell amongst His people. It tells us in the wilderness place that whenever the wilderness and the wilderness years were taking place and the Israelites were there, that the Lord gave the understanding. He gave the command to Moses to build the tabernacle. And there in the wilderness, all of the design, all of the different parts of it were brought together. And you had all of the curtains, you had all of the different emblems, you had all of the different materials. God gave all of the design. The men put it together, and it tells us that when it was finished, Exodus 40 and verse 33, it tells us Moses finished the work. And the verse 34, it tells us that whenever the work was finished, it says, then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses literally finished. The last curtain was hung. The last door, as it were, was put on. It is now claimed finished. And God comes immediately to dwell amongst His people. His presence was there. What about when Solomon built the temple? In 2 Chronicles 5 and the verse 1, it says, all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Verse 13, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. Verse 14, the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. God dwells amongst His people. He delights to dwell amongst His people. That is the great joy that the Lord has, even, and the great joy that we have is God comes, God not only visits, but God remains with His people. Every time that the doors are open, every time that we gather together to worship, every time that we come together in the house of God for the things of God, God is in the midst. God is here. There is a blessing in His presence. But I see also that there is a blessing in His preaching for the church. Some people might not see this in this day and age, but God has ordained that everything, or the very thing that the world sees as foolishness, in other words, preaching, is a blessing unto His people. It is a blessing, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the preacher. I'm saying it because God has always blessed the preaching of His word, regardless of who the preacher in the pulpit is. Isaiah 55 and the verse 11, the Lord says, so shall my word be that goeth forth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God's word always prospers. God's word never negates. God's word never depletes. God's word, when it goes forward, always prospers. And as we mentioned earlier, only God knows what every week in this year will bring you. Only God knows exactly what is coming on a Monday through to a Saturday. And therefore the Lord, every week, I believe the Lord has it that his ministers are given a word from the Lord. And it's there for you to lead, to instruct, to encourage, to strengthen, yea, to prepare. To prepare you for what is coming in that week. Yes, the Lord meets with you in the private place as you open up the scriptures. As you read it personally, as you meditate upon it. But God does bless through the preaching of the word in the house of God. What is the blessing that can be received through the preaching? Yes, of course, for the unsaved, it can be the means to bring them unto salvation. We accept, we believe, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so as the gospel is preached, as the need of salvation is preached, as Christ being the answer is preached, as Christ being the way, the truth, and the life is preached, as the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing from all sin is preached, that is how the sinner is brought to salvation. But the preaching is also there for the saved. The preaching is used of God for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There is a blessing in the preached word. Child of God, let me encourage you to grasp that even in this year. There is a blessing in hearing the preaching of God's word. I've sat in the pew for many years, and I know there are times when you come, and there are times when we've all been there, whenever you come with that mentality, maybe it's tiredness, maybe it's discouragement from a week, maybe it's a great concern for what is coming. But always remember, when you come to the Lord's house, endeavor to come with the spirit of Samuel. That you simply come, and then for that time you're before the Lord and you're simply saying, Lord, speak to me. Lord, it's not just a sermon I want to hear. It's not just a message from a preacher I want to hear. Lord, I want to hear you talk to me. And you know, sometimes it's only one line in a sermon. Sometimes it's only one phrase from Scripture, and yet the Lord can take just a few words and can just drive it into your heart and into your mind, that in that moment you just realize, God has spoken to me. It's not about the theatrics. It's not about all of the fancy. It's about the still small voice of God. Was not the case for Elijah. Elijah ran from Jezebel and hid in a cave. And there was wind and there was fire passed before Elijah. And then it just came. There was a still small voice. And God spoke to his heart. And in that moment he realized, I am in the presence of God. God is speaking. There is a blessing in the preaching of the word. But thirdly, I see there is a blessing in the progress of the church. Because God loves to bless. He blesseth the habitation of the just. And God loves to bless and to prosper his work and to prosper the witness in his house. After all, it was Christ who said, I will build my church. He personally builds his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, of course, the progress that all of us long for is both the spiritual and the numerical.
From the human aspect, we look and we long for souls to be saved. We long for families to be united in Christ. We long for the wandering backslider to return. We long for the individuals, the homes in this area to be reached and to be brought in. We long for the pews to be filled. We long for more chairs to be being brought in. We long for all of those things. We long for the children in the Sunday school to be saved. We long for the young people that are reached on the Saturday night or the Friday night, that they will be saved. We have those desires in our heart. And they're right desires. But that is not only what progress is. Progress is also to be seen in the family of God. Progress is also to be seen in the spiritual maturity of the saints. That not only does the numbers in the church grow, not only does the number of saved souls every year in this area grow, but that our knowledge and our grace within us grows. That's why Peter concludes his epistle, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, of their Lord and Savior." There's a scattered believers there are enduring such hardship right across the world at that time. And all of that there that they're going through, and all of the attacks, the persecution, the low in numbers, and they're just scattered right across. And they're enduring all of this hardship. And Peter writes to them to encourage them. Then he finishes with this: "But grow." You need to grow. There needs to be progress in you personally. That you grow closer to God. That your understanding of God increases. For some that means you move on from the milk of the word and you get on to the meat. For some that means that you rest and you rely more and more upon God. For some that means that you learn how to cast all of your care upon the Lord, because you know that He cares for you. For all of us, that means that we get a greater understanding of the sovereignty of God. That God is sovereign over all things. That's something at times I need to be reminded of. Ministry of the word and the ministry in a congregation. Sometimes personally you take too much upon. You think, oh, if that person goes there, if that happens here, and you think of all of these different things. And so often my wife just says, the Lord knows all about it. The Lord undertakes. I'm trying not to say thank God for the wife, because I mean, she'll just say it more often. But you know, it's something we all have to remember in life. God is sovereign over all things. He is the King high and lifted up. And it's He that says, "I will bless the habitation of the just." Regardless what one or two individuals or families, regardless what little troubles may fill our minds that we think, oh, but what about this here? He, the King, will bless the habitation of the just in spite of everything. What a comfort. But secondly, I need to move on. Close with this. What a challenge is found in this verse. Because it says, "He blesseth the habitation of the just." What is the challenge for us in this year? Very simply, that our lives are not a hindrance in any way to the blessing of God coming to this house. Always remember, not only does God presence himself amongst his people in visitation, but he also comes to his house in inspection. It tells us in Revelation 2 and verse 1, he is the one who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And you go through Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, and you're getting the report, the inspection report, as God has went round the churches himself. And he's highlighting the positives, and yet he comes to the churches, I have somewhat against thee. You see, God inspects, God searches, God looks past the outward appearance of the church. He doesn't simply look at the building and the finery and the availability and all of the different aspects of a building. He looks at the people, and he doesn't just look at the clothing of the people, but he looks into the very depths of the hearts of the people. God inspects his church. He searches every heart and every soul. He is a holy God. Therefore, the blessing will not come upon unholiness. You think of those two times, one at the beginning, one at the end of the Lord's ministry. He goes into the temple, the very house of God. And he overthrows tables. And he casts out money changers. And all of those that were involved in the wickedness of the day and the thievery and all of the sinfulness in the house of God, he casts them all out. See, child of God, we are to guard our testimonies. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. We are to be vessels unto honor, not unto a dishonor. We are not to be whited sepulchres. That's what Christ called the Pharisees. They had all of the appearances in the outward, and yet the inward was filthy. We are to love God with all of our hearts, our minds, our souls, our strength. We are to serve God. We're to lay all in the altar for him. You know, I was thinking of those verses. The Apostle Paul concludes his epistle over in 1 Thessalonians with, how applicable they are even for us to meditate upon in relation to living for Christ, being vessels unto honor. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, they're little catchy phrases. Rejoice evermore. In other words, have the joy of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And he finishes with this. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see the challenge that was laid out to the Thessalonian church? Pray. Have the joy of the Lord. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. In other words, despise not preaching. Abstain from evil, and yea, even the appearance of it. We are to live blameless.
that we don't cause sin to come upon ourselves and we don't cause sin to come upon another within the church. Matthew 18 verse 7, woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Romans 14 verse 12, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. We are to be just in our thoughts and in our actions. The Lord promises, I will bless the habitation of the just. And may this house this home, the habitation of the just, may we know much blessing in this year. Personally, in terms of your family, but in terms of this congregation, may each one of us know personally the presence of God. May each one of us this year give ourselves to the preaching of the word. May each one of us this year even personally have that progress in our own hearts. May God be pleased to visit. And it starts in this house. And what starts here then spreads out to there. That God revives the church. That he blesses the habitation of the just. And that he awakens this area and draws many precious souls unto himself. He is able. With God, all things are possible. And may the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank thee for the promises of God. We thank thee that thou art able, yea, to give us much more than we can ask or even think. Lord, we do thank thee even for this message from thy word. We thank thee that thou art a God who blesses. And Father, we pray that this congregation as a whole will be a vessel unto honor in this year. We pray that thou wilt not only come amongst us, but that thou wilt cause thy face to shine upon us. O God, bless thy word to all of our hearts. We pray even for thy blessing to continue and thy presence to continue with us as we meet around the Lord's table, that we will remember thy death until thou dost come. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books, please.